book of Matthew, chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. The book of Matthew, chapter 27, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save them." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. For a few moments, we'll talk about the crucifixion of Jesus. The crucifixion of Jesus, the crucifixion of Christ. Crucifixion was a method of execution often attributed to the Roman government, specifically for those who committed the worst of crimes. The person to be crucified would be nailed to a cross alive and subjected to suffering till his death. Such was the case with Jesus, with the exception that this execution Jesus was innocent. He had not committed any crime. He was suffering at the hands of the Roman government at the behest of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2 describes it this way. It says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." When you think of crucifixion, or when you think of the crucifixion of Jesus, what do you think of? Do you recognize the extent of our Lord's sacrifice? What do you think of, and what do you think about when the crucifix or the crucifixion of Jesus is or comes to your mind? Can I just say, in prelude to what I'm going to say later, that it is a horrible scene. It is one of great suffering. It is a gloomy scene at the death of Christ. I'm going to say this later, but let me just say it now. It was gloomy, but it was also a glorious day. It's gloomy because of the conditions and the horrific pain and suffering he had or he did endure. But glorious because he did it not for himself, but for you and I. Can I just say this? When you picture the crucifixion of Christ, every picture that you picture or you focus or you look at in your mind ought to have you at the feet of Jesus at the cross. Not one of murmuring and one of conjecture, but one of praise. One of gratitude. Because through and through, what he did not have to do. I hear somebody asking, Reverend, what did he do? I'm glad you asked. Y'all ask good questions, because can I just tell you? Christ endured the horror of the cross so that we didn't have to die as sinners. That's where you're supposed to go like this. He endured the horror so that you and I did not have to die as sinners. He made a way at the cross. Look, y'all. He made a way at the cross. It really gives me better understanding of what he meant in John 14 and 6. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was pointing to the cross. He's pointing to his own death, his own misery, his own pain and suffering that he would endure so that you and I would not have to. Since we've established the innocence of Jesus, let us view the crucifixion of Christ closer by beginning with the setting of the crucifixion. Verse 45 says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And the sixth to the ninth hour is from noon until about 3 o'clock. Calvary is this the setting of the crucifixion. Place us as us at Calvary. Golgotha is familiar to many of us who have read and sang and heard sermons regarding the cross. But sometimes we seem to skip over the fact that there were a lot of things occurring and happening during this death. It was dark, but it was not dark at Calvary alone. The text says, watch the text. The text says there was darkness over all the land. And when you look at Luke speaks of this darkness being over all the earth. And we must be careful. We must be careful to note that the death of Christ affected all of the world, not just some of it. The Calvary event took precedence over all of creation. It took precedence over all of nature itself. The Calvary event became, watch this, priority. Amen. Amen. Over everything that was happening. Yes, yes. Oh, can I say it like the old preachers? The sun refused to shine because the sun was already at Calvary. Took precedence over all of everything that was going on. It was dark. Not just at Calvary, but over the whole world. There's something to this. All of nature began to witness and acknowledge the very work of Christ on the cross. Come here. Come here. If nature could just stop and be at awe at what's going on at Calvary, what's wrong with us? The sun stopped shining in the middle of the day. Interestingly enough, Matthew tells us that it, all of the Gospels tells us that it was in the noontime. And he wanted us to get this, to understand. He wanted us to understand that, look, it was it occurred when the sun was supposed to be shining. At noon, he wanted the record to be straight. It wasn't at night. It was at noon. And the sun just turned its light off. In the middle of the day. The sun, it appeared that the sun was in protest of what was going on at Calvary. I'm feeling this today. Look, verse 51 says that the earth quaked in the middle of the day. It says the sun stopped shining and the earth had a temper tantrum. Because Jesus was on Calvary. 51 says the rocks split open. I'm trying to show you the precedence of Calvary. Verse 52 says the graves were open. And dead people rose and began witnessing. Ooh, that made me shout all over. He was on Calvary. Everything stopped working like it ought to work because the sun was working. That ought to be a lesson to us. This wasn't in my notes, but that ought to be a lesson to us. This for free. You know, that when Jesus is working in your life, you all just stand and just be in awe and just watch him work. And make some strange things happen. That's the kind of power he has. Like the setting of crucifixion tells us that there was more power in the death of Jesus than there was in all of the living. Look, I like that when I wrote that. Calvary was gloomy, but it was not the end. It looked bad, but it was not over. I believe that even with these things that occurred, it just made it clear that, oh yeah, even while he's on the cross, you just couldn't stop him from working. You couldn't stop him from being who he is. The setting is gloomy, but guess what, baby? It ain't over. I was watching basketball, watching a basketball game some time ago, and from the beginning of the game, the team that I was rooting for was being demolished. I mean, just being blown out in the first quarter, and the commentators and the fans were astounded at the fact that the coach of the team wouldn't call a timeout. The opponents, the opposing team was just making shots. And just, you know, they were on fire, and the coach was just sitting there. And the team closed the gap by the end of the game and went on to win the game, the team I'm rooting for. And when the coach was interviewed after the game, he was asked why he didn't call a timeout when their opponents were leading in the first quarter. And his response was very simple. He said, well, we came with a plan, and we still had three more quarters to go. And there was no need to panic in the first quarter. We knew it looked bad, but we also knew we had a strategy that would work. Come here, I thought I'd get somebody. Look. So it is with us. When it seems we are losing, just remember, it's not over. Don't panic. You're still in it. It may look bad, but Jesus has a plan. I really believe that's what this is teaching us today. Look, it's teaching us to face our darkest hour, trusting the power of Jesus. Understand that nothing is too difficult for him. Jesus has more power than your situation does. Look, he has more power than your circumstance. He has more power than your problem. He has more power than your condition. Don't give up because of how things look. Just trust Jesus. Just trust the power of Jesus. Just think. Look. Let me just tell you that he has power over things in your life. Don't quit because you don't think your life is where it ought to be. Trust the power of Jesus. Jesus could have this type of power even on the cross. Certainly he could have the same power in our lives today. The setting of the crucifixion must ever be a reminder of his power and the power of Christ in the lives of the believers. It must also take into account not just the setting of the crucifixion, but the suffering in the crucifixion. Yes. Verses 46 through 49, very careful to explain and show us a different picture of Jesus than we've ever seen before. We've seen him through his biography and through the narrative shown to us in the Gospels, him healing people. We've never seen Jesus vulnerable. We've always read and seen where he was in control and had things under control. And, you know, he healed sick folk, healed blind folk, he healed lame folk. I mean, we've never seen Jesus the way we see him now. He's suffering. There is a physical suffering. Jesus had been beaten and tormented. Luke 23 and 22 tells us where he had been Pilate had sent him to be flogged and beat. And look, y'all, when they would beat Jesus, they didn't just use whips like you see on the movies. You know, just threaded, you know, and braided leather. These had rocks and bones on the ends of it, and iron and ore in them. And they, when they would hit Jesus, every time they hit him, those rocks and those bones and the strap would go into his skin. And every once in a while, it would pull some skin back. I want you to understand the suffering that Jesus endured. It was physical suffering. They beat him. They mocked him. Jesus had been mocked. And not only did they just mock him and make fun of him, Matthew 27
verses 27 through 31 says that they mocked him. They took and they put a robe on him. Would slap him. And was saying to him, "Oh, hail the king." They were playing. But they didn't realize they were really bowing to the king. They were, they took a thorn, took a crown of thorn, and they wrapped it up and mashed it on his head. Slapped him. Beat him. Took him from barracks to barracks. And had the audacity to spit on him. The suffering he endured. I want you to see what Jesus took for you and for me. Truth to be told, he took it because he had us in mind. When I think about us today, it's hard for us to take folk rolling their eyes at us. Hard for us, watch this, to take folk not speaking to us. That's one the Lord's still working on me on. You know? Yeah, amen. I can't stand it when folk won't speak to me. Just walk by, act like they don't see you. Okay, all right. As big as I am, you don't see me. Okay, I digress. I digress. But he took and endured mockery. Matthew tells us, Mark tells us, John tells us. And then interestingly enough, he was marched up this hill called Golgotha. John says he was made to carry his own cross. Mark and Luke says that, and Matthew, Mark and Luke says that they caught a fellow by the name of Simon of Cyrene. He helped Jesus carry his cross, but the order is that Jesus dealt with it and endured it for you and I. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. Look, y'all, he was in bad shape physically. And yet, he would not come down. He would not stop because he had you and he had me in mind. Know about you, but that's good news for me. That, I believe that's what Big Mama meant when she was saying, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Because ain't nobody going to go through what he went through like he did. But that was physical suffering, but that was also spiritual suffering. And verse 46 helps us to see that. It is where he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Really, this moment is a pivotal moment in the fact that it is a portrayal of his humanity, or the humanity of Christ. Now, don't get it twisted. He was 100% divine, but he was 100% human too. I mean, he felt like we felt. He had pain like we had pain. And it is at this point, even though he knew no sin throughout his entire life, but it was at this point, while on the cross, he bore the weight and the sin of the world. Tell us, at that moment, he understood what sin feels like. It was on him, y'all. At that moment, he felt separated from the Father. Doesn't sin do that? It separates us and causes us to feel empty and void. And what Jesus wants us to see is that he knows how you feel. He knows what you're dealing with when loneliness comes. He knows what it feels like. He suffered from the burdens of our sins, and sin caused this loneliness. I wonder, just in my mind, where were the people that he healed? Seemed like somebody could have spoke up. Where was Bartimaeus? Seemed like he could have said, look, I was once blind, but now I see because of this man. Well, where was the man that used to have the withered hand? Why wouldn't it seem like to me he would at least stretch his hand out to Jesus or something? Where was the lame man? He couldn't walk. He couldn't come and see Jesus. Where were they? It was a lonely moment. He was by himself. But Jesus kept dying in spite of the loneliness, in spite of the suffering, in spite of the pain. And then verse 49 helps us to see that he kept dying in spite of the ridicule. He was suffering a ridicule. Even at this moment, there were bystanders who still wanted to touch him. Let's see if Elijah come and save him. See, what they did not remember was that Jesus has already made it clear that if you tear this down, I'll build it back up. I'll bring it back up in a few days. You know, what they didn't realize was that he is who he said he is. He is the significant one, the all-significant one, the Savior. He is the Messiah. They were unable to appreciate the moment of deliverance and salvation. They were unable to recognize the sacrifice that he gave.
All right.
In baseball, there is something referred to as a sacrificial or a sacrifice hit.
Right, sir. Yes.
But this is where a player comes to the plate, comes to bat while a teammate or two may be on the bases. And he hits the ball in such a manner that it forces the opponent to direct his attention upon him and throw him out. While his teammate will round the bases safely. Can I tell you, that's exactly what happened on Calvary?
Yes, sir.
Jesus placed all the attention on him.
Yes,
by bearing all of our sins so that we can make it home safely.
Yes,
look, Christ does know how you feel because he took the hit for you. All of our sins laid upon him. He has felt the struggle you felt because he made the sacrifice. He has endured the separation sin causes for you because he made the sacrifice. 1 Peter 3 and 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. What am I trying to say? Christ did it for you. He sacrificed, he suffered for you and I. Well, here's what we ought to be able to do. Because of that, we ought to be able to give our life to Christ because he gave
his life for us. We ought to give our life to him because he gave his life for us. If Jesus can do all this for us, it ought to be worth it for us to be able to live for him. It ought to be worth it. Look, ask yourself right now, just ask yourself, say self, just ask yourself, is it worth it? Is the suffering Christ endured for me worth me surrendering myself to him? You think about his suffering, you think about what he's done, you think about, matter of fact, what he's doing even now, is it worth it? Christ did it so that we wouldn't have to do it. Paul says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is. Look, beloved, it is worth it. It's worth it. And I want to submit to you, if you've not accepted him as your Savior, it's worth it. It's worth it to step out and accept him as Savior. But let's consider the significance of the crucifixion. Verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. His death to the Jews who plotted to have him crucified signified what they thought was their victory over him. They thought they had him. They schemed and believed the scheme had worked. They had plotted and coerced other people to lie on him. Matter of fact, when Pilate said, "I didn't find no fault in him, I think I'm gonna let him go." When Pilate wanted to let him go, they argued with Pilate. He said, "No, you better not let that man go. He's got the hearts of the people." Matter of fact, they even went so far as to threaten Pilate. See, Pilate was an appointed ruler at that particular time. He was appointed by Caesar, the emperor of Rome, and placed in charge. And he was, look, he was, he owed Caesar his loyalty for allowing him to be a prefect over Jerusalem. But at the same time, there had been some moments where the Jews were all on Pilate's back. And this became one of those moments whereby they said, look, if you don't crucify him, we're going to tell the emperor. If you don't crucify him, we're going to tell the emperor that you're not his friend. And to be called an enemy of Caesar was a death sentence. So they put Pilate in a situation where he had to put Jesus on the cross. But the interesting thing is that they thought that was their victory. To them, because they plotted, they believed it was their victory. But his death to the believer signifies his victory over sin. Well, it signifies the door of eternal life for those who believe and accept him as Savior. It signifies his grace. It signifies, watch this, his passion for us. It signifies his obedience to the Father. It is at this moment whereby we recognize that he loved us so much that he was willing to give us everything he had at that moment. It was not the victory for the Jews, but it was a victory for you and I. That's the significance of it. The significance is that it becomes, watch this, a grace factor for each of us.
Romans 5 and 21 says, of that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I tell you how Isaiah says it? Isaiah says it this way in chapter 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes are we healed. We are healed. That's the significance of it. The significance is that we are healed from the penalty of sin. The significance is that we have watched this. We are no longer bound by the law, but we are under the grace of the Lord. Can I tell you what that grace looks like? Can I tell you what it looks like? It looks like the blood of Jesus that came streaming down and covered us all. Oh, I wish I had somebody here that knew something about the blood. Songwriter said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You ought to be able to just thank God for the blood. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his death. Thank him for dying out on Calvary. He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. Somebody here ought to be able to say, thank you for your death. Thank you. Didn't he do it? He died for your sins. He died for my sins. But oh, that's not the end of the story. I really wish I could tell you the end of the story right now. I wish I didn't have to wait till next Sunday to tell you that he got up on the third day morning with all power in his hands. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. He didn't have to do it, but oh, he did it. I'm glad he did it. You ought to be glad. You ought to be glad. You ought to be glad that he suffered for you. Just imagine if you had to do that suffering yourself. Aren't you glad that he stepped in? And we didn't have to. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless you. And we magnify you. We lift you up. We come thanking you for your sacrifice. Thanking you, Father, for dying for us. Giving us an opportunity to eternity. Now we ask, Father, we be able to do your will and do it that it may shed light for others to see and know who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us extend the privileges of the church.